read for you the entire chapter in just a moment. Tonight, we're really going to be picking up on verse 13 and focusing to the end of the chapter. But remember, this is Daniel's final vision, and it is a grand prophetic panorama of not only the time where Daniel is living and just following, but all the way into the future to the establishment of Christ's earthly millennial reign. Having given that little bit of a background, let me read for you Daniel chapter 10, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, or the Tigris River, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the man that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand that the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Verse 18. Then came there again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Let me give just a basic recap so that you can understand where we're at in our study in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel lived long enough to actually see the prophecy of Jeremiah, which prophesied that Israel was going to be in captivity 70 years for the 5 decades that they did not honor the Sabbath rest, letting the land rest for a year on every 7th year. Daniel realized from studying the book of Jeremiah that the 70-year period of time was designated by God as a form of chastisement for them. Now, in Daniel's life, it is very late in that 70-year period of time. It's about 72 years after he has been taken captive as a youth. And so Daniel now, by the time you get to this, he knows that the release is coming, and Daniel is around 84 to 87 years of age. Now, Daniel has been fasting and praying for 3 weeks, and he's been seeking the face of the Lord because of 2 primary reasons, and that's what is motivating him here. First reason was fasting and prayers were given because he was greatly concerned about the Jews that were allowed under Cyrus to return back down to Jerusalem. Now, those Jews, there was probably about 50,000 that went down there, and they were going there to rebuild the walls and the temple, and they were also taking the great temple vessels that had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar and brought to Babylon, the same vessels that in Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar used to praise those heathen gods, and ultimately that brought the demise of his kingdom. Now, the second reason Daniel is praying is Daniel wanted further understanding about the future of Israel. Remember, in Daniel chapter 2, he saw the kingdoms unfold. He saw the head of gold and the arms and shoulders of silver and the waist of brass and then the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay. He understood that to be successive kingdoms. But when you get to Daniel chapter 7, the picture there is completely different. It's from God's vantage point, and the vision that he sees is, first off, the first kingdom is pictured as a lion. The second kingdom, which is really the Medo-Persian, is like a bear. And then the third, a leopard, because it moved quickly, which is the Grecian. And then the Roman, which is the fourth, is pictured as this horrible beast. So as Daniel's understanding, he knows that he's past the reign of Nebuchadnezzar and he's into the Medo-Persian Empire. Well, what's the next transition going to be like? And what about that horrible beastly nation that's somewhere into the future? Daniel is praying for wisdom and insight and understanding. So he's a concerned prophet. In verses 1 through 3, just to recap, he understands that which is going to be shared with him is absolutely true. It is going to take a long time for fulfillment. Some of the things, as we're going to get into chapter 11, were actually fulfilled between Daniel and us, actually between Daniel and the coming of Christ. And the third thing, Daniel is going to have an understanding of this vision. Back in the previous two chapters, it ended where Daniel was literally physically ill because of how upsetting these things were, and he really didn't understand. But Daniel's a committed prophet, and so in verse 3, we saw that he went to the Lord in prayer, even though he had civic and royal responsibilities, being very high in that administration with the Persians. He sets aside all of those things and goes into a period of prayer, and literally he is going to deprive himself of many things because he wants to focus on prayer. He has a burden from the Lord, and he is going to go into a prolonged prayer time. It's going to be 21 days long. Well, Daniel is preparing himself for the vision, and that's what you're going to find in verses 4 through 9. The time of the vision was, it came to Daniel 3 days after he was done fasting and praying. The place of the vision is near the Tigris River. Now, we don't know exactly why the Lord had him go there, in the vision, not physically go there, but in the vision, but that was God's choice. Now, the person in the vision, we looked at verses 5 and 6 before, and we really believe that this is a Christophany. It's a pre-incarnate visit of the Lord Jesus Christ to Daniel to assist him in this, and we're actually going to see him, I believe, in a second part of chapter 10, and we'll point that out in a little bit. So, what was it like for him to experience this Christophany, this visit from the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it was an overwhelming experience, and you see that in verses 5 and 6. And by the way, in verse 7, it says, the men that were with him, they flee, they run and hide because of great fear. So, who is this individual? Well, I believe that it is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to take a look at the second aspect of that in just a minute. Now, I believe not only does the Lord Jesus Christ appear to Daniel in this vision, but I believe that Gabriel comes and again is used in several ways to communicate, to encourage, and to strengthen Daniel and to help him receive this. And so in verse 10, it says, and behold, an hand touched me. I believe that is the hand of Gabriel. And obviously comparing scripture with scripture, I think it makes sense. And he comforts Daniel. Look at it in verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. By the way, if you're accustomed to underlining things in your Bible, verse 11, you see that phrase, a man greatly beloved. And down in verse 19 of chapter 10, you see the exact same thing, O man greatly beloved. And we'll get to that exegetically here in just a moment. But Daniel now is being prepared to receive this vision. And it's going to be kind of interesting, and I really need you to pay attention to this. The vision is going to come a little bit later on. What Daniel is going to realize in chapter 10 is that Gabriel is coming to him with the vision. He needs to be prepared for it because it's going to be difficult to put it all together and experience, and it's also going to give him information that's going to be disturbing. So Daniel needs to prepare his heart about that. But more than that, Daniel needs to recognize that there's more going on than Daniel just being quiet in his room and fasting and praying. Daniel's eyes and ours need to be open to the spiritual realm around us and to know what is actually going on. The battle between good and evil, the battle between God and Satan and all of those fallen angels. And we're going to look at that in some detail and see what's going on. Daniel needed to understand this vision information. And that's exactly what we're going to look at in verses 13 through 21. Now, recognize that even seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in this vision and then being visited again by Gabriel had caused Daniel in verse 9, he goes flat on his face. He's flat on the ground. He can't stand before them. And finally, in verse 10, the angel helps him up on all fours. He's on his knees and he's on his hands and he's kind of weaving back and forth as he's on all fours. And then ultimately, in verse 11, he goes and stands to his feet with the help of the angel. And in the end of verse 11, it says, I stood trembling. Daniel is literally there shaking. And at that particular time, the communication is, Daniel, don't be afraid. You're a man greatly beloved, and we've got some wonderful words to communicate unto you. Well, what is the first thing that Gabriel wants to communicate? He's saying, you know, Daniel, you've been praying. Now, let me tell you what happened from the very moment you began your prayer, a twofold prayer. What was it? Number one, he was concerned about the Jews that were returning down to Israel to rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple. And you can read about that in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And secondly, he's greatly concerned about giving more information to the future generations of the children of Israel so that they will understand the unfolding of those sequential kingdoms in Daniel chapter 2 and also in Daniel chapter 7. So look with me in verses 13 and the following as we look at this explanation of what's been going on in the realm beyond what Daniel's physical eyes can see, in the spiritual realm around Daniel when he began to pray in Persia, how God and the angelic realm responded. Look with me in verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Daniel, you need to understand, and this is Gabriel speaking, Daniel, you need to understand that there is a great invisible war going on around you. When you pray and you ask God to be glorified, and wasn't that what Daniel was all about? Wasn't Daniel trying to make sure that God was glorified during the reign of Emperor Nebuchadnezzar and also with Cyrus Darius? Wasn't he trying to make sure that God was glorified? Well, Daniel has been praying for 3 weeks, and this war that has been raging between the forces of evil and the forces of good has really been triggered because Daniel was praying for God to answer prayer. This is a spiritual battle. Now, when Daniel says, Dear Heavenly Father, I need you to show me what to do here, immediately God brings in, and it's if he hands a dispatch, like a messenger during the Civil War, and a dispatch is given to Gabriel, and Gabriel is supposed to bring that down and communicate it to Daniel. In the process of traveling to Daniel, what happened is he was attacked, it says in verse 13, by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, you see the word prince there? It comes from the Hebrew word sarsar. And really, it's a description of an angel. It's one who has been working behind the scenes at Persia to try and accomplish evil things. This evil angel was assigned by Satan to Persia to try to get Persia to do Satan's will and not God's will. And Michael, the archangel, when Gabriel is not able to get through to Daniel, and Daniel's now, he'd prayed for 3 weeks. Apparently, this was a long battle, at least a 21-day battle. Michael, the archangel of God, is dispatched to go down and help Gabriel. So obviously, this is a great battle. This is an epic battle that's going on around Daniel, and he doesn't see this. Now, Michael, the archangel, is dispatched because Michael is a special angel to minister to Israel. You can read about that in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. We'll get to it. Also in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And he will assist Gabriel, and together they are going to win the battle. Now, Daniel is going to ultimately see Gabriel, which is what we're reading about in verses 13 and the following, and he's gonna get the message, and we're going to study that in chapter 10 all the way through chapter 12. Now, let me give you a little history lesson. Why is this epic spiritual battle going on, and where did it all start, and where did it come from? Well, when Satan rebelled against God, his name was Lucifer, son of the morning, and he fell very early on in the early chapters of Genesis, right after creation, actually, and some of the angels followed him. These became demonic angels. If you like to study more about that, you can read Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, or Revelation 12, verses 7 to 12, or Matthew chapter 25, specifically verse 41. Now, Satan has assigned these demons to areas geographically, and I believe that's true today, based on Ephesians chapter 6, to fight the plan of God on earth so that Satan's will is done on this earth. The Bible describes that this battle is going on as if Satan is a president or a leader, and he has principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. There's a rank and file. You can read about that in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Also, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, John chapter 12 and verse 31, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. So, we as believers understanding this, Daniel getting this vision, Daniel getting an understanding that the spiritual warfare is all around us. So in our nation of the United States of America, whatever nation that there is, there are very powerful demons assigned by Satan to try and affect our president, our vice president, our Congress, our rulers of our nation, and our governors, and our state house and senate, and our, you know, the mayors, and so on down the line. So we as Christians, we are the ones that battle against them. I want you to stop and think about this. Are the unsaved politicians able to battle against these forces? And the answer to that is no. The answer to that is the Church of Jesus Christ, God's people like Daniel, are the ones who need to be in prayer. God's people like Daniel are the ones who needs to fight against these things in a twofold way, prayer and the proclamation of God's truth. And you're going to see that as we get down into verse 20. So as we look at this, we see that there's a great battle. Look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, Gabriel speaking, 1 and 20 days, 3 weeks. But lo, Michael, then one of the chief princes. By the way, the term for Michael as prince is the exact same sar in the Hebrew, which means that the fallen angels and the godly angels were one group first as holy angels before Satan and those ones that fell became demons. It says they came to help, and I remain with these kings Now, the vision that Daniel's about to receive is going to talk about the future, and obviously Daniel's concerned about the future. Well, what is that future like? Well, it's for many days. Look at verse 14. Now, I am come, Gabriel speaking, to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. These are the days that really after the fall of the children of Israel, it started in 606, and Daniel was deported in 605, and then ultimately in 586, Jerusalem was razed to the ground, and the destruction was fulfilled. Now, it's, you know, the Jews have returned, and they're trying to rebuild this, and Daniel goes, and he's praying for them to be successful, and he's praying for what's going to understanding the future, and now Gabriel comes and said, I've got a vision for you that it's going to be for many days. Verse 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, Daniel now says, look at his response. I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. Literally, he said, I hung my head and I went back into that position as to where I was speechless. I want you to recognize that this vision that is unfolding to Daniel, he is experiencing the realm of God's spiritual world. And it is overwhelming for a human to do that in our present physical condition, which is exactly why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, in order for us to live in that realm, this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortality must put on immortality. So Daniel, in the midst of his weakness, he says in verse 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men. And again, This could be Gabriel, or it could be, again, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to him. I tend to think it's the latter, the Lord Jesus. Then he said, and he touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake. And one of the reasons I think it's probably the Lord Jesus Christ is because he touches Daniel's lips so he can begin to articulate again. We've been studying the Gospel of Mark, and we read in Mark chapter 8 how the Lord took the deaf stammerer, and he touched his mouth too, and he gave him the ability to speak. And so that is very typical of our wonderful Lord in giving people the ability to ask questions and to proclaim his truth. In the middle of verse 16, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. So Daniel is saying there, one like the Son of Man has touched me, and I'll tell you what, I just have no strength. I can't go on. I don't know if I can continue to do this. By the way, if this is talking about Gabriel and not the Lord Jesus Christ, one argument for that, if you'll notice in verse 16, he says, O my Lord. You'll notice that the L in Lord there is not capitalized. By the way, the word for Lord there means master, instructor. So if it is talking about Gabriel, it is saying, O my master, instructor, by visions of my sorrow are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. And twice more in verse 17, he's going to refer to, how can thy servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? Again, you'll notice that it's not capitalized, and it could again be referring to Gabriel as his master, instructor. So in verse 17 to 19, we see that Daniel is strengthened. And this is, by the way, he's being strengthened for the very third time in this particular vision. Now, the importance of the vision Daniel is about to receive is going to have just a major effect in his life and obviously in his mind as well. It has been compared to Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when Christ went and prayed? And as it were, great drops of blood fell from his forehead, and he got so physically weak that literally it says angels came and ministered unto him. This is a like same situation, and perhaps it's Gabriel in both places, Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and Gabriel helping Daniel here. But in both of these cases, we're seeing angelic help in order that God would strengthen these God's servant. In verse 18, and there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And in verse 19, we see the message that is delivered from Gabriel and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. By the way, this is going to be the last time that Daniel is going to need strength in this particular vision. The strength that is going to be provided for him is going to be amazing, and it's going to be continuous for him. Well, let's go on. We're seeing now Daniel is being strengthened. He's there. Gabriel is communicating to him. Remember, he's near the Tigris-Euphrates River. Picture on this riverbank that Gabriel is there. Christ has visited and Christ has gone away. And now Gabriel is receiving or delivering this message, a message that it has taken him 3 weeks to get to Daniel to deliver because of the demonic influence, the control over the realm of Persia. The prince of Persia is a demon that is trying to influence the leadership, the kings of Persia, to do that which is evil. And so because Daniel is in the realm of Persia, very high up in its administration, when Gabriel leaves God and comes down, the forces of evil rally to try and stop Gabriel from bringing that message to Daniel. So there's this warfare that's going on, and finally arrives with the message. Daniel goes into this dream vision state, actually sees the pre-incarnate Christ who has information for him. Gabriel starts relaying that information and is teaching Daniel this material. Well, it's overwhelming for Daniel. He first falls on the ground, and then he gets to his hands and knees, and then stands up, and then again he almost falls to the ground. Well, Daniel, finally, we see here, receives an insight and understanding as to the purpose of the vision. What is this vision trying to communicate? Look with me in verse 20. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? He said, Daniel, do you know why I'm here? Well, Gabriel's there for two different reasons, obviously. Number one, because Daniel prayed. And Daniel's prayers are being answered, and God is going to bless and help the children of Israel down in that have been restored to Jerusalem in that particular area. If you want to read how the answer to Daniel's prayer is unfolded, read about that in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah. Secondly, Daniel was praying for wisdom about what these visions mean and how it's going to affect Israel in the future. So Gabriel is there, and he's going to tell Daniel that vision and give him specific instructions. Next week, Lord willing, when we get into chapter 11, we're going to talk about the events just after Daniel's life. As a matter of fact, it's the events between Daniel's death and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first coming, when he was born in Bethlehem. Many different events in that intertestamental period of time are going to be discussed in chapter 11. Those details are there. So the purpose of the vision, number one, is to show Daniel the unfolding plan of God for Israel, and that while this unfolding plan of God is going on, that there is a concurrent spiritual war that is beyond his physical vision going on, that is all around him, and he needs to do two things. There are two key things he needs to do to deal with this. Well, Daniel chapter 2, let me give you the image again that Nebuchadnezzar saw. It was the head of gold, and that really was a picture of Nebuchadnezzar himself. The chest of silver and bronze was the Medo-Persian Empire, and the brass was obviously the Grecian Empire. Ultimately, the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay is the Roman Empire. All of that, except for Nebuchadnezzar, was on into the future. In Daniel chapter 7, we saw that those same successive kingdoms are likened to a lion, a bear, a leopard, and then the terrible beast is a description of Rome. So Daniel is trying to gain insight and information as to how these nations are going to react and to respond to Israel. Daniel is trying to impress God's people with something. If you walk away from God, if you don't live for the Lord, if you are a nominal Christian, a lukewarm Christian, then guess what? Satan's forces are not fought against very well at all, because you're not praying, you're not showing up for prayer meeting, you're not being a witness, you're not being a bold servant of God, you're not doing those things that God would have you to do. And you're living your life, if those things are true, like this spiritual warfare is not even going on around you. And yet Satan takes this fight very real and is fighting against the rulers in our country, both our president, our vice president, and all those people, all the way down to these individuals. He's fighting against all of them to try and get Satan's will done here in America. Well, how is God's will going to get done here in America? By biblically obedient, praying Christians. Now, Daniel has been doing that, but there's a second area that Gabriel is going to emphasize, and I want you to see this. God's unfolding plan is going to have to be during these times of the Gentiles by God's people praying. But look at the second one it says in verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. Daniel, I'm come here to teach you what the scriptures are going to say. Now, you need to ask yourself a question. What scriptures were extant? What scriptures were available to Daniel? Well, not a whole lot. Now, obviously, there was some scriptures in the Old Testament written. There was the Torah, and there was things like the book of Jeremiah. We know that Daniel had a copy of that. But what Gabriel is saying unto Daniel, note there, I will show thee, in verse 21, that which is noted in the scripture of truth. This could also be translated, I am going to show you what is actually being written down to form the scriptures. I'm going to show you how the scriptures are going to be unfolded. And one of the things he's trying to emphasize to Daniel is, Daniel, this is the fourth vision I'm going to give you. And have you noted that all of the other visions have come absolutely 100% perfectly true? And when we get into chapter 11, there's going to be some amazing historical things that are already history to us, that were future to Daniel, that he prophesied, that took place perfectly. This prophecy is going to be fulfilled. He's saying, Daniel, you need to pay attention as God is writing his word. His word is going to be fulfilled. His word is going to come true. And I'm going to give you insight and understanding in this. The scriptures, like the writing of Jeremiah, are unfolding. And how do we know that's going to take place? Well, we know it's going to continue to take place until we get to the book of Malachi. Then there's going to be 400 silent years. It's going to start again with the book of Daniel, and it's going to travel through the New Testament all the way until we get to the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is going to conclude God's communication of the 66 books of the Bible. God's revelation is going to be complete. It comes from the Hebrew word kaniah, and it's the full measuring stick. It's the full measure of what God is going to communicate to us as human beings. That has already been accomplished. And so what we are to do is, as Gabriel told Daniel, is pay attention to the scriptures of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. What are we to study? We are to study the Word of God. So the angelic war, as powerful as it was, is always going to be subject to the scriptures. And Satan hates that. And so Satan hates it when God's people study the Word of God. Satan hates it when God's people pray the Word of God. Satan hates it when we pay attention to the book of truth, because he doesn't want it to see it fulfilled in our nation. And so he wants the Bible out of our schools. He wants the Bible out of our government. He wants the Ten Commandments off the wall. Satan is behind these things, generating the hearts of unsaved people to stop the spread of the scriptures more than anything else, because therein we know that we have eternal life. The scriptures to Daniel at this time is literally the divine document which is in the process of being revealed, which is going to affect nations and unfold the future, that are all in God's hands and literally under God's control. It is good to remember that such a man of God, Daniel, was he not a man of God? Was he not an amazing individual? Pay very close attention to this, because it's really a cry from my heart as your preacher. It is good to remember that such a man of God as Daniel needed angelic help to understand and proclaim the book. Today, who do we rest on? Who do I rest on? Rest on God the Holy Spirit for the illumination of the scriptures, to give wisdom and unfolding that which is taught in the Word of God. But that's why we ask you to pray for preachers. Pray that preachers will be able to deliver the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians tells us that you need to pray that we are delivered from wicked and unreasonable people, that we've been delivered from them, and that the Word of God would have free course into people's lives. Do you see what we're up against? It's not just me going to my office and studying a sermon. It's not just me going to the pulpit and or before this camera and preaching the message as if, you know, once we put it all together and I tell you accurately what it says. No, as a matter of fact, the parable of the sower and the seed said Satan came and stole the seed that was sown. You know, Satan comes and he blinds the mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4, of those which you know, see not, they otherwise would understand. And so God's people need to recognize that there's this spiritual warfare going on all around us. Chapter 10 is devoted to the preparation to receive the revelation that is to follow in chapter 11 until 12. And so in conclusion, Daniel needed to be strengthened for the task, not only to receive the Word of God, but to be a proclaimer of Scripture. And isn't it true that the nation of Israel needed the copies of Scripture to understand what would unfold for them in the future? Daniel needed to understand how that was all going to work, and he needed strength to accomplish that goal. And has not the book of Daniel been a wonderful, treasured resource for not only the nation of Israel, but now in this dispensation for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that, you know, to help us understand for all that God is trying to do in this dispensation with our nation and for all the nations around the world? Pray for your president. Pray for your vice president. Pray for Congress. Pray for the Supreme Court. Pray for our governor. Pray for our mayor. Pray for all that are in authority, as Timothy says. Pray that God's word, God's will, and God's people will be directed to uphold them, and that they will make decisions to live to the glory of God. That's the lesson in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel has a great vision, and the vision is going to come true. We need to be people of prayer. We need to be people that recognize there is a spiritual battle going on, and we need to be people that study the Word of God and are faithful to our local church as soon as we can get it back open. Faithful to our churches. Pray that God would open the doors for us, and that the evil one would be defeated, and that God would do a great work. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that enlightens us about the spiritual battles that are all around us, the spiritual battles that we see, Lord, not only in our own lives against sin and against wickedness, but, Lord, the spiritual battles that we see in our world around us where Satan is trying to accomplish evil and wicked things. So we pray and ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you would do a great work in protecting our president, our vice president, and all that are in authority, Lord, so that your word would go forth with power. I pray that for our mayor and in our community of International Falls, help us, Lord, to be effective in reaching people with the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.